This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com. Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. My guest today is Dr. Michelle Lee, who's a board-certified, Harvard-trained plastic surgeon who founded Perk Plastic Surgery, a high-end aesthetics practice based in Beverly Hills, California. Dr. Lee starred in E! Entertainment's reboot of Dr. 90210 and has recently unveiled her new medical-grade skincare line, Perk Potions. Dr. Lee, welcome to the show.
So happy to be here. Hi, Maria.
I'm so excited to have you on the show. My God, plastic surgeon. I can't wait to dive into what you do, what your day-to-day is like. But before we begin, I can't wait to hear what inspired you to become a plastic surgeon.
Well, you know, I actually remember the exact moment when I wanted to be a plastic surgeon. I started my career path off as a concert pianist. So I thought I was going to be in the arts my whole life. And what happened was I took a 180 degree turn into medicine. And during medical school, I felt like no field actually spoke to me until I shadowed a plastic surgeon and they were doing breast reconstruction. And all of a sudden I could see what was happening. You know, if you think about it, if you were to get your appendix out, no one can see what's actually happened. But if someone were to do a facelift or do a breast reconstruction, plastic surgery is the only field where you can see what's happening. And it was such a combination of art and science that I'm like, you know what, this is my calling in life. And that's how I chose my field. And it's been great.
That's incredible. I've never heard of a doctor literally having such a clear vision as to why they chose the path that they've chosen. Like my cousin's a general doctor, and I remember asking him, why did you choose to be a general doctor? And he said, well, I wanted to be an internal doctor, you know, a specialist, but that was like four more years of studying. And he's like, I just chose general. But your work becomes so much more meaningful when you're inspired by something more than just the less years or the more years and so on. Now, like you said, you know, with any other surgery, you don't see the results and you don't see it's not visible. Obviously, people feel better when their appendix is removed, right. But do you see the beauty afterwards, like a breast implant, you know, surgery or something else? You don't. And how do you feel after you do these surgeries and people are happy? What does that feel like?
Well, you know, I really think of it, you know, there's twofold. First, like the surgery itself, it's such a craft, you know, and every single surgery is different. And you're fine tuning and then you're perfecting this craft. And you know, when every time I do it, I'm like, wow, like what constitutes beauty? What makes something look aesthetically pleasing? And that's such a, you know, it's such a wonderful field. And the other part of it is the patient's reaction when they see themselves for the first time. I think this feels so wonderful because, first of all, it makes people feel good. And second of all, every time I get better and better with each surgery, right? And you look at someone, it's like, wait a minute, why? The human eye is amazing because it can catch millimeter differences. And you don't need an advanced degree to tell this looks good and this doesn't look good. Everyone has an opinion on what looks good. And, you know, and that's what's so fascinating. So there's not one single way to do some things. Five different surgeons can have five different techniques, and they may arrive at the endpoint different, like in different ways. And that's just, and I think that's what's so unique and special about this field. It's not one thing. There are multiple ways of doing things. You can always get better. And I think plastic surgery is getting better and better every day and every year. We're going for the very plastic looks. We're going for little micro tweaks because people don't want to have obvious surgery. You want to be subtle. So how do you look youthful, but subtle, but like yourself, but just a better version? And these are the things that keeps me up at night.
Wow. You mentioned that subtle is really important. And to me, that's just been so important, you know, because as I'm aging and I'm entering my 40s now, I'm realizing certain lines on my face are just getting deeper and deeper. And I've just been hesitant to try Botox. And every time I see my dermatologist, he's like, well, it's preventative. It's preventative. But the reality is every time I see some of my friends and colleagues, I feel like their faces are getting bigger and bigger. And I don't know why, if it's just they're just doing more and more Botox than they need to. But, you know, I want to talk a little bit about beauty and women as they're aging and how they should embrace beauty, and that there's nothing wrong with surgery if they need a little bit of a lift or whatever. But what's your thought on all of that? Because obviously there's so much pressure, especially with social media now, with filters and everything. People are exposed to so much that's not really real. And then they look at themselves and they're so unhappy, and they go and do Botox and do the extreme. And then they're even more unhappy with the results.
Well, you know, as a surgeon, I always say you can't operate happiness into people. So how you feel on the inside, you can't, that's very, very internal. In terms of beauty, we're under like a pressure cooker this day and age, because everyone, like, there are people who can't post their photos online without some kind of editing and whatnot. And you can't use those expectations in real life. It's normal to have pores in your skin. It's normal to have fine lines. And when you look at before and afters, it's not a static image. Your face moves, right? So like you mentioned about your friends, or people who get a lot of fillers and Botox, maybe you look great in a 2D image, but when the person starts to talk, to laugh, you still have to look natural. So I think, you know, the field in general is moving towards a micro tweaks trend, which I'm very, very excited about. And then people are saying, you know what, let me not erase every single line on my face, because it's, let me embrace aging. And I think more, and I'm so happy about this, you know, Allure magazine, the editor, who's also named Michelle Lee, the former editor, she actually started a campaign to go to ban the word anti-aging, because there's nothing wrong with aging. Yeah. You should be pro-aging, but to be good at aging, it's, you shouldn't be, you know, 60 trying to look 15. That's never going to happen. You just want to look like yourself. It's okay to have lines. It's okay to have a little bit of sagginess, but you just want to look like the best version of yourself. And, you know, all the different treatments, you want to have a light hand. You can't be so self-critical. You have to look at yourself as a whole and have a very holistic approach to beauty.
I love that. God, that's an amazing campaign. Don't be against, you know, anti-aging. That's just, it's been, that word's been thrown around for so many decades now. It's kind of like the norm. And I would love to see that change and completely go away. Now, tell me a little bit about your skincare line. You just launched it. I'm so excited. I read some of the ingredients. I can't wait to try it. Tell me how that started.
Well, my skincare line really started with my patients. So after facelift surgery, and that's, facelift is one of the most common surgeries that I do in my practice, my patients say, oh, I just, you know, had this big investment on my face. What should I do with skincare? And our practice philosophy is that we meet you wherever you are. If you just want to have a really good skincare, that's fine. If you want to have a total face, brow, eyes, whatever, makeover, that's also fine. But a lot of it is that surgery, it's kind of like exercise, right? You have to sort of maintain the surgical result. And everything starts with skincare. Perk Potions right now, it's a very, very small line, because I just want to pick the three different products that's almost like hero products for my patients, which is, you know, I didn't do a cleanser yet, just because, you know, there's so many great cleansers on the market. So everyone should be using some kind of retinol to promote cellular turnover. So Renew is our Perk Potions retinol. So for patients who have had facelifts, and or just even in the preventative era, we want you to make sure that you use retinol to promote cellular turnover. But a lot of retinol is very, very harsh on the skin, so people can't tolerate it. The way our retinol is formulated, it's very gentle on the skin. It's combined with bok choy, which is a naturally retinol analog. So basically, it's very, very similar to retinol, but it's naturally found in plants. People love the retinol because you can tolerate it. If you can't tolerate it, you won't use it. followed by vitamin C. So not all vitamin C is stable by the time it gets to your skin. What's so great about our vitamin C is that it's the clinically most potent vitamin C, but it's stable. So we combine it with a bunch of different antioxidants that takes a hit of the oxidative stress of the environment first. So that's a great antioxidant for the morning. And then lastly, the moisturizer, the lipid nourish cream, we really designed it for our post-procedure patients whose skin is really sensitive after lasers and peels. And this just creates this wonderful nourish, like moisturizing cream to first help tolerate the retinol. So those three products, they're hero products for the skin. And so I designed them for my patients at first, and then because my patients loved it, so then we're offering it to the public.
I love that. And I love that you're keeping it simple because, you know, we're all busy. And as we're getting older, our lives are getting more busier with kids and everything else. I personally don't have time to put four or five things on my face at night and then, you know, things in the morning. Like, I just want to do one thing and be done, you know, if possible, wash my face and moisturize it and be done. I don't want to put four different things on my face. And I love how you're keeping it super simple. Now, tell me a little bit about the startup journey of starting your own skincare line. How is that? I know obviously you're very busy being a plastic surgeon, and then to take on this role of creating your own skincare line, what were some of the challenges that you had to deal with?
Well, you know, I think what's so great about having your own practice is that you do things out of for need for something, right? So we created the skincare line not because we just wanted to, and there's all, you know, that's a side project for us to do, but because our patients were asking. Their patients say, I really haven't found something that's medical grade, that's effective. There are so many options, what should I do? So I'm like, why don't I just do a specific line for my patients? So the journey, you know, I'm a surgeon first and foremost, but so first we came out with Nourish, and then the retinol, and then the vitamin C. So it's slow, but at the same time, because we designed it really for post-surgical patients, we immediately had an audience for it because it filled the need for my specific practice.
And I love, you know, when from a marketing perspective, when we look at a new product, we generally, you know, if brands come to us and ask, hey, you know, I want to launch this product, and I just don't know who my target audience is. I don't know this, I don't know that. I feel like you just bypassed all of that because now you're creating a solution for a problem that exists and a problem that is literally in your office, right? Like it's just from a marketing perspective, it's genius. You probably save tons of hours and money in not having to do much research and development and all of that and understand what your customers need.
And you know, Maria, to add to that, what's so interesting is that I also get immediate feedback from my patients. You know, so they use the product, and my patients are very honest with me. If they don't like something or they do like something, they tell me immediately. And we've made tweaks to the products based on the feedback we get. And you know, after surgery, I see my patients very often. We see each other on a weekly, monthly basis. And if they don't see something that works, they will tell me immediately. So I have a built-in focus group.
That's just genius. Honestly, that's genius. Because I, you know, my first initial thought was, how can you have time to build this new skincare line? I mean, it's like literally raising a little baby when you're building a brand, but you've got half of it done because it's so organic and it's so, it's really solving a huge problem. Tell me a little bit about anyone who's listening, who's inspired to do what you're doing. What suggestions do you have for them?
Well, the journey to be a surgeon is long. I think the number one suggestion I have is that it's never too late. So this morning I just saw a patient of mine. She is in her 30s and she's going to go to medical school. I think starting in August. And, you know, it's a little bit late for medical school. Traditionally, most medical students start in their 20s. But, you know, that's her passion. That's what she wanted to do. And it doesn't matter that it's a, you know, 8-10 year journey. So I think medicine takes a lot of dedication. There's a lot of sacrifices along the way. But if that's your calling, that's something that you only live once, right? So you go for it, you just do it. And it's never too late.
I can tell you really love what you're doing. I could just sense it in your voice and see it in your beautiful face. You're blessed. You're really blessed to find a true calling. I can tell you're walking the you're here on the mission, and it's really to clearly beautify all the women out there.
I think my mission really is not to beautify the women. I think beauty exists in every single person. Yeah. And I think people sometimes, just with all the distraction noises of our society, you forget to see that within yourself, you know? And, you know, I have patients who are so hung up from the fact that they have a little bit of extra skin on their eyes. And when we remove the extra skin, all of a sudden they see themselves the way they looked 10, mm-hmm. 15 years ago. And all of a sudden they're like, you know what? I am beautiful. You know, it's completely, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. It's all about perspective, right? So for me, it's not so much saying, you know, you have to fit into a certain mold, but it's just to show my patients how beautiful they really are.
Wow. What's one thing that you figured out in your practice from a business perspective, I would say, that you think took your business to the next level, took your practice to the next level?
Well, I, you know, this may sound really cliche, but I think being really authentic to yourself is very, very important. And I hear this advice all the time, but it's really true. For me, there's so many different types of doctors, and each doctor have a different vibe. But for me, I'm someone who really likes to spend a lot of time with my patients. We, you know, we almost grow together like a family. And because that's who I am, I attract patients very similar to me. And so we have a very authentic relationship. And I think, you know, I'm not someone who, I think if I'm not authentic to myself, I will not attract the same type of patients. And once I realized that, you know, let me just do my practice the way how I would like to be treated as a patient, I think that really launched the practice into a different level. I'll give you an example. Before I started my own practice, I was working for a big corporation. And, you know, it's a different type of practice. And then the corporation needed you to do a lot of volume of patients and see a lot of patients just with the state of healthcare right now. So sometimes I had to see 30 to 40 patients a day, and you can only spend 10, 15 minutes. And, you know, you're timed on the amount of time you finish surgeries. Like, you know, you have to finish a breast reduction in 2 hours or whatnot. And that's just not me. That's not my vibe. And there are doctors there who thrive. I mean, I don't think many, but they thrive on this kind of, you know, fast paced environment. I'm much more boutique. I want to know my patients. I want to spend time with my patients. I want to know what's going on. And I think when I made the leap to say, you know what, like, this is not the practice of medicine for me. That's not going to make me happy. And let me just trust my gut. And if I can't do this in corporate medicine, let me start my own business. And that's the best thing about starting your own business, right? You create a little universe that you have control in your ideal world.
Exactly. It's the best thing. I've been a serial entrepreneur. I went to grad school, and then right after grad school, I came out and I started my first online company. And I remember my husband telling me, why didn't you go to school if you just wanted to become an entrepreneur? And I said, well, because I know one day I'm going to need the skill sets to run a business. And, you know, I have to tell you, over the years, over the last 20 years, I want to say that I've been a serial entrepreneur. I've realized that a lot of the journey, and when it comes to being an entrepreneur and running your own business, a lot of it is intuition. It's being true to yourself, like you mentioned. It's wanting to do good for other people. It's truly trying, you know, when you're trying to solve a problem and help others, that's really what the key of having a successful practice, business, consulting firm, whatever it is that you're doing. If you're out there trying to do good and help people, you're going to thrive and it's grow. And I remember in grad school, a lot of times they were like, well, you have to have this in place and that in place. And there was this like long checklist of things we have to have in order to have a successful company. And, you know, now I look back and I'm like, yeah, it's a little bit different now. I don't think some of the stuff I've studied, I've learned in grad school applies, you know? And so to your point, you didn't go to business school, but you had the core pillars that it takes to build a successful business that can help others and make people happy, I guess, and feel good.
Well, I think ultimately the goal of any business, whether it's medicine, plastic surgery, or any startup or business, is that you want to leave your client the world better than when you have found them, right? And this applies, it's true for across all different brands of business. And I think if you stay true to that, there's always going to be a market. You don't have to do the things the same way as every other business, and you will thrive.
I love that. I love that. And, you know, I know that the beauty industry is really competitive, and I have no doubt that Perk Potions is going to be so successful. I just know it's going to be because it's your story, it's your brand. And the fact that you're out there sharing it with the world, like taking your time right now and coming on my show and sharing it, which I'm so thankful. I know that you're going to succeed so quickly, and it's just going to be probably the leading skincare line for women. But if any of the listeners, including myself, could help, could support you, in what ways would you want that support?
Oh, absolutely. You can certainly go follow us on Instagram at Dr. Michelle Lee Perk or at Perk Potions, and you can purchase Perk Potions on our website at bevhills.com. But, you know, to your point about success of a brand or e-commerce, you know, what's so interesting is like my definition of success have really changed in that for me, you know, I launched this for my patients. So if it makes a difference in all of my patients' lives. So for me, even if we don't make any e-commerce sales or people that never hears about this, I already consider the brand a success because my patients love it. And that's who I designed it for. But if the rest of the world can enjoy it, great. If not, that's okay. I already consider it a success, you know?
You know, you decided to have your own skincare line, and I can't wait for myself to go and try it, and hopefully the listeners will do as well. I can't believe it's coming to an end. I wish I had you longer. I had so many more questions, but we do have to end it. And I just want to remind our listeners again, if you can just remind them how they can get a hold of you and learn more about you and follow you.
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow me at Dr. Michelle Lee Perk. That's DrMichelleLee Perk, PERK. You can follow Perk Potions at Perk Potions, and you can visit our website at www.bevhills.com. It's so great to be here with you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lee. We'll have everything in the show notes as well, and we hope to have you back again. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.